total surprise. Oh my god. Yep. As you might have guessed, we're back with our new Star Wars podcast. That's such an entrance. Man, I wish I would have thought of something like that. But anyway, before we digress into everything Star Wars, specifically The Last Jedi, I am joined with Ben Callimer of The Movie Review, who also writes for Podcast Them Softly, who we can all thank for that brilliant introduction for our Star Wars podcast, which we've never done, which we're going to probably do from this point forward. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for that. That was...
Anytime.
That set the tone rather well. It got us excited. Next, I am joined by Kent Hill, who is a contributor to Podcasting Them Softly, who you guys can all thank for those amazing interviews from Richard Stanley to Sean Stone to... Who do you have coming up on Podcasting Them Softly, Kent?
Oh, mate, I've got Larry Karaszewski.
Karaszewski, yes.
Yeah, the Golden Globe, one half of the screenwriting team with Scott Alexander. I've got, just coming up this week, I've got Philip Eisner. I've also got Michael Schroeder, who directed Cyborg 2 and 3 coming up. Geez, Richard Norton, actor, stuntman, Equalizer 2000, yeah. and a whole slew of movies.
Okay, and then, well, Kent's in Australia. We're all U.S.-based, so we may have some reception issues. Hopefully I don't have to edit too much for everybody, but we should be all good. And lastly, I'm joined by my BFF, and this is the first time he's ever been on the show, Mr. Terrence Eckert, who was at Star Wars Celebration last week, which I bitched out on, unfortunately, which is going to be one of the biggest regrets of my life, I'm sure. Terry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I can't believe I haven't had you on to talk about Star Wars before, so this is going to be pretty incredible. I'm glad to have a big panel on like we did for our Logan chat. That was a pretty big hit, I do believe. Okay, so to begin, the Last Jedi trailer came out last week, which is something we've all been very much waiting for. Terry, what was your reaction? Since you were there, by the way. You weren't in the panel, though, were you?
No, I didn't make it into the panel, unfortunately. People were camping out all night to get into that. But they did stream it live on the main stage, on the main floor. It was crazy. Being there with all the Star Wars fans, you know, almost, you know, 60% of the people in costume. And just the silence that fell over the crowd as that trailer started up. You know, I mean, it was the quietest that the convention center had been the whole, like, 2 days prior. And everyone was speechless, you know. All we could do was cheer, you know.
Ben, Big Sexy, give me your take.
I actually watched it, and I said I wasn't going to watch it because... advertising today for movies really gives away far too much, and I'm sorry to start out on a platform, but I'm going to digress anyway. I thought visually it was stunning. I'm very excited to see where this goes, and I hope that Rian Johnson, who's Looper, I'm a huge fan of, can take it in a completely different direction in terms of established characters and new characters. So I'm looking forward to it.
And lastly, Kent, my fellow prequel lover, what did you think of the trailer?
Well, Frank, to talk about this trailer is to talk about this. I watched Phantom Menace last night. I watched it again this morning. And to talk about these Star Wars trailers, we have to go back to the Phantom Menace trailer that everyone paid, you know, top dollar to go and see a movie. As I was saying, it never gets old. And when a new trailer comes out, I'm right there. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the exact second it pops on. boom, it's there. I watch it multiple times. Multiples upon multiples. Like the numbers of like Agent Smiths in the Matrix sequels. and it's just I mean, how incredible are Star Wars like these? They're just like it's like an orgasm you don't expect to have.
no, and I mean
it's like
As I said when I watched the trailer, I saw, I came, I went.
Well, and here's the thing about any big reveal about Star Wars, especially for people like us, and what's so special about Star Wars, and I've said this a million times, it's not just the four of us, it's millions and millions of people all over the world that this becomes an event for. You know, and it becomes something much bigger, and it's almost indescribable, because when, you know, it gets announced that the Last Jedi trailer is going to come out, we all pretty much stop what we're doing and arrange our day around it.
Sure.
For the most part. You know,
sure.
I was out at the store, and I was trying to bust ass home so I could get home in time for the trailer, which unfortunately I didn't, and I watched it in my car on my phone like an idiot. And I couldn't see half the shit that's going on in the trailer because I'm looking at my phone. But I don't even know where to begin with this, because I think the trailer was brilliant, because I think the first two trailers we got for The Force Awakens were incredible. I think the first teaser trailer is probably one of the best trailers I've ever seen in my life. And then, which Terry and I watched in my car. By the way, we'll tell that story. So it was, what was it, Record Store Day?
Yeah.
It was Record Store Day, and Terry and I drove into Chicago, which we live in the suburbs, to go to this movie theater to see Nightcrawler. But the reason we're going to this movie theater, because it was like one of the, I don't know what it was, like 20-some theaters across the country that was going to show the Force Awakens trailer for the first time. So
yeah. That's
why we originally went down. And then the trailer broke on the internet like an hour before the movie, and we sat in my car and watched the trailer on a loop, and then we saw Nightcrawler. Yeah. Which Nightcrawler is actually really awesome. It was better than I thought it was going to be. I think that movie's great, but that's what we did. And then we walked like all over the city to try and find Record Store Day shit that we ended up not getting, like the Guardians of the Galaxy mixtape on cassette and the American Hustle vinyl, which I'm so pissed about that. We're at the record store, and I'm trying to get the cassette of Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Because I'm one of those people that actually still has a tape deck in my car, because my car is 20 years old. So I would have listened to it, right? And I'm old enough to remember cassettes and have cassettes when I'm little. Fucking Terry and I are standing in line, and this little kid with his dad gets the last one. And it made me so mad. Because, I mean, this kid's like 12, right?
Doesn't even know what a cassette is.
Doesn't even know what cassette is. I was just so anxious. And then Terry got an awesome fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark vinyl while we were out. And,
yeah, made up for it a little bit.
Right. But anyway, I don't even remember. And then the Rogue One trailers come out, and it was just like, holy shit. The Rogue One trailers look amazing. And I know that whole shit happened with, like, I think the whole Rogue One, I'm just so happy that Rogue One was as good as it is, because first it was the reshoots where, you know, everybody was trying to make it seem like Rogue One was going to be the worst movie ever made, because there's all these last minute reshoots or whatever, which pretty much every movie goes through reshoots. And then everybody, after the movie came out, people were bitching about the fucking trailer and how half the scenes from the trailer weren't even in the movie. Now that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Where scenes from a trailer aren't in a movie, especially for people like us that watch the trailer a million times, so we can help. You know what I mean? So when we're watching a movie, we're waiting for scenes to happen. You know, like I'm waiting for Rey to face off with, or not Rey, I'm sorry, I'm waiting for Jyn Erso to face off with the TIE fighter. Which never happened, but I mean, I think Rogue One exceeded my expectations, certainly.
Absolutely.
Beautiful film. Beautiful.
Right. And then comes the Last Jedi trailer, which is pretty much as minimal as possible, which is something I really liked about it. It really tells us nothing, with telling us so much at the same time.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't even know where to say. I mean, the trailer's like a minute 50, but I guess the big takeaway is Luke's final line of the end of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure Go ahead, Kent.
Yeah, what would have been kind of cool, though, is like, I anticipated maybe that they would start with the last shot. But I really thought it would have been cool maybe to start, you know, like with the close-up. Finally, he's about to say something, and then boom, and there's something else.
I think they're probably saving that for the actual trailer.
Yeah.
Right, because this is the teaser.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people complained there wasn't a Chewie We're Home moment, but that was from the second trailer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind that so much. I think I would rather have expectations muted than expectations set so sky high that we end up with a legion of fans attacking Rogue One, or attacking The Last Jedi Rogue One style.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, The Last Jedi's not going to have a Chewie We're Home moment, because that was supposed to add validity to Episode 7. Ben?
I'm here.
Oh.
This is the podcaster that you're looking for.
All right, well, let me recall Terry.
Reach out.
I gotta reach back out to Terry. Yeah. What I was saying is we're not going to get a Chewie We're Home moment in any of the trailers, because that was solely to add validity to the movie, to the new trilogy. Hey, we have Han Solo, we have Chewie, we have the Millennium Falcon, we're all good. You guys don't have to worry about anything. The old cast is back, and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, I agree. just hearing that's giving me goosebumps.
Yeah,
look what you started, Ben.
Sorry, I've got it on a loop. I've been watching.
You know, I've only watched it the once, so I'm not 100% certain.
Why are you on the podcast?
Right.
Who's Benicio del Toro gonna play?
I mean, there's some pretty awesome rumors floating around about who he's playing.
Kent's reaction to watching The Last Jedi trailer for the 2 millionth time.
probably lucky we don't have video on this.
You guys are very lucky you're not having video of this, just let me say. Who's Benicio del Toro going to play, Kent?
Geez, good question. Well, I'm guessing, you know, it'll probably be, is he going to be a good guy? Is he going to be a bad guy? I don't know.
I think
maybe.
They've already announced that he's the villain of Episode 8.
The villain, yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, because he's got, he's got a rep. He's played some fairly juicy villains in his career, so... he certainly got that great sinister element to work with, So if he's going to be some sort of another evil element or another, because I mean we've seen in the trailer, Kylo Ren's not going around with his helmet anymore, so maybe
his helmet is smashed in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which facility is... Go ahead, Ben.
I thought that was cool.
Right. Presumably, he probably smashed it in a rage mode.
Yeah.
Is kind of what my interpretation was of it. But back to Benicio del Toro, and I'm sure Terry's gonna say this when he said there's some pretty awesome rumors going around. One of the rumors I've seen is that he's going to be Thrawn, which I don't necessarily think is the case. Anyone?
Yeah, no, I hope they don't go there. I hope they go somewhere else.
I don't think he's got the gravitas to carry off a character like that.
I don't necessarily know if he has the see, that's tough, because Thrawn's going to be a tough character. I mean, I promise I'm going to start reading the book today. But I haven't seen Thrawn in Rebels, and I never read any of the Expanded Universe stuff prior to Disney buying Star Wars from Lucasfilm, so all that stuff got thrown out the window. So I'm not as familiar with Thrawn as most people are, but I just think it would be an error to bring Thrawn in Episode 8.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sure he's going to show up at some point in a standalone movie, like a lot of other characters will from the newly created EU, but I don't think that he's going to play Thrawn. Now, Terry, what are some of the other rumors you've heard?
I heard a really interesting rumor that was, like, really fleshed out, but, I mean, all the rumors are, that he's playing, like, an anti-Han Solo-type character, like, an opposite, like, this, like, greasy, slimy character flying around in, like, this shiny, sleek starship as, like, some sort of bounty hunter or enforcer or something like that.
And how does that tie into this? Do you know anything more than that? Or is there anything more to the rumor of that, how it ties into the story? Which
I mean,
you really don't know what the story is.
Yeah, right. Not really. I mean, other than he's, I mean, going to be antagonizing our heroes in some capacity. I don't know much more than that.
I certainly think that Benicio del Toro could pull that character off rather well.
Yeah.
Especially after his performance in Sicario.
Yes. Yeah. Joke.
Yeah, sure.
His performance in Sicario is fantastic.
So I think if there was a faction of the New Order that was out to find Luke Skywalker as well, because obviously they were, because you know they were turning up in all the places, and they were after the droid. With the information, as this is often the case, so they're always there must be a faction that's out to get him, but also there's, you know, this Del Toro character part of a separate faction that's out for vengeance or bounty for a different reason. You know, it's
right.
That's not connected to the First Order.
Right, and here's where I was kind of thinking. With this, I don't necessarily think that Benicio del Toro will play an Imperial officer.
I don't get that vibe either.
Yeah, I think that would be a waste of the strengths of del Toro as an actor. Because when we think Imperial officers or First Order officers, I mean, we get Hux, who's perfect. You get Krennic in Rogue One, who's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, Tarkin. It's like the upper class English. European actors are the officers. Now, Ken, you brought up a good point, and I know Terry and I have talked about this among many other things, but you would think that there's different factions of what was left of the Empire in the galaxy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the First Order is the prominent one that, you know, takes the Stormtroopers, that rebuilds the Death Star into Starkiller Base, which I'm still in love with Starkiller Base. I think that's so fantastic. but yeah, I would tend to go more along the lines of even what Terry was saying. He's going to play some sort of like bounty hunter smuggler. Badass.
Hear me out on this too. I especially after watching the new trailer and like going frame by frame, you can see like in that one shot of those like speeders on that like that desert that they're attacking like walkers, very reminiscent of Empire. And so I think that this really shows that they really are going to continue with, like, the Star Wars tradition of repeating certain events. And I really think that Del Toro might be like a Boba Fett type character.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah. He's going to deal like a critical blow to the Resistance when he like completes his mission or whatever.
Right, because I mean that's what Star Wars is. I mean, the prequels is templated off of the original trilogy, and the new trilogy is obviously templated off of the original trilogy. I mean, everything is going to stem from the original three films.
Right.
As far as tone, themes, you know, certain events happen. Qui-Gon dies. Han Solo dies. Just like Ben Kenobi dies. You know, the mentor dies in the first movie of each trilogy. And Terry, I think that might be pretty dead nuts on.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, but I really feel like we're going to see that same thing play out again.
Because let's not forget that this, The Last Jedi, is essentially going to be The Empire Strikes Back of this.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, if they're going to follow the template at all, it's going to be darker. It's not really going to have an ending. Right? Okay.
Right.
Whereas in The Force Awakens, yes, it's an ambiguous ending because, okay, yeah, they find Luke Skywalker and it leaves a big question mark, but it ends. This next one probably will not have an end, so to speak. It will be like the big, like, oh, crap, right? And, you know, just like an Empire, people we care about are going to be put in, you know, the absolute worst situation, which is going to have to be resolved. Whatever episode.
Now, do you think Attack of the Clones has an ending?
Do I think...
I think it's really similar to Empire, you know?
Yeah.
But don't you think...
Really ominous.
I mean, if you look at the last shot of Attack of the Clones, the last shot of Empire, where they're sort of standing there looking off into the stars at the end of Attack of the Clones, they're standing there looking out across the lake, and you see his metal hand, and, you know... You know, that's more, that's not really sort of echoing the tone, that's more echoing of the imagery.
No,
yeah,
I feel
like Attack of the Clones has an oh fuck ending, like Empire has an oh fuck ending.
Exactly right, it's very reminiscent of the Empire Strikes Back ending, where they're staring off into space.
Yeah,
so,
there's that wide shot, yeah.
Yeah, so essentially we're guaranteed an oh fuck ending at the end of at the end of The Last Jedi. And that's a different ending
probably,
that we had at the end of The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
It's going to be ominous.
I think it has to be to be the successful middle chapter, because Empire is still one of the greatest Star Wars movies. It's one of the greatest science fiction movies.
It's just one of the greatest movies ever.
Yeah, and simply because that it's got everything. It's got humor, it's got darkness, it's got action, it's got everything. And the characters that we don't care about are all tested for the most part.
Yeah.
And that's what The Last Jedi has to do. It has to take these characters that we've now been introduced to. It's got to be like a Stephen King book. We've been introduced to the characters get to know them, and now they've got to go through some sort of hell. And the third episode time will be the resolution.
Right.
So it's got to hit those marks and these characters. You know, so either someone else has got to die, right, or someone else has got to be put in complete uncertainty, or maybe it's going to be Luke Skywalker.
You think they're going to kill Luke Skywalker off in Episode 8?
And that brings up the title. Is he the last Jedi, or does he train the last Jedi in order for the Jedi Order to evolve into whatever it's supposed to evolve into?
I think it's going to be Luke is the last Jedi, and he wants to start something that's not quite the Jedi. You know, I don't think he's going to train Rey to be what... at least what we're familiar with when it comes to Jedi.
I think what he's going to train her to do is to use the Force probably how it was always meant to be used. Like, you get a feeling of, like, some sort of sorcerer-type element. He's been alone on the island. He's been reading those books, right? And he's, you know, he's tapped into something deeper than just, you know, going around and choking people across the mind, lightsabers and all that sort of stuff. I think it's he's tapped into something deep.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really, really going back. Because when you think about it, those books, like, if he did go to the last, or the first Jedi Temple, like, this is, like, a part of Jedi history that is probably way, way older than even, like, Yoda. And so far, Yoda's the oldest connection that we have to, like, the Jedi way.
Yeah. Because as we know, like, Ben Kenobi went into a self-imposed exile. Luke's done the same. Obviously, to find out when he went in search of this Jedi Temple, obviously he's gone in that direction to find out where it's all going wrong.
Right.
You know, he hasn't... Ben Kenobi went into you know, his self-imposed... He went out into the desert and, you know, and he just went out there and to hang out, right? He didn't go there to study or to do anything. He put up a lawn chair and hung out there till the front.
Well, right. He was essentially there to shepherd Luke.
Yes.
Luke's journey, I think, is different. He's gone away to try and figure out where he's gone wrong, because we know that he trained Kylo. And that's gone wrong again. So he obviously has figured this time there's something wrong with this whole Jedi thing. And he had to go away and find the
Well, I think that from everything we've understood so far, Luke's in self-imposed exile because of Ben Solo.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty straightforward.
Yes.
I think that's going to be the catalyst of everything, and I wonder if Ben Solo and Luke Skywalker are going to meet in this movie.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, you can definitely see it being set up. They're going to have a Vader Kenobi standoff or something.
That would be really cool.
You know, and Luke's either going to kick his ass or give himself to the Force and become a Force ghost, and maybe he'll be a Force ghost in 9, you know.
Are we going to get a Force ghost of Obi-Wan, Yoda, or Anakin Skywalker in this movie?
I hope so.
Yeah. It'd be nice to see a Force ghost of, like, Qui-Gon Jinn back into it.
It's going to be interesting to see how they play with timeline in this.
Yeah.
Because they kind of messed around a little bit with it in The Force Awakens, which they have not done in a Star Wars movie prior. You know,
right, that was totally new.
Right.
Yeah.
And
well, we hear Ben Kenobi in their flashback. In this trailer we hear Yoda.
Right. You know, and the big rumor is that Frank Oz came back to voice Yoda for episode 8.
Yeah, so he was over there doing something, so, you know, smart money says Yoda.
I feel like if they do that, Ben?
I was going to say I agree about Yoda, but I would like to see more of Maze Kanata. Is that the name of Lupita Nyong'o's character? Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Maz is almost going to be like the new Yoda-ish type character of the new trilogy. I don't know. I'm still under the impression that she's from the same species that Yoda is, because I mean, dude, you don't see her head, you have no idea what her ears look like, she's tiny, she's been alive for 1,000 years, she has the same sort of facial features. It's like, come on.
She uses Donald Trump's tanning
that's true too. But I mean, she has to have some sort of connection because she's Force attuned. And she had Luke's lightsaber.
Yep.
Yeah. And of course, we're far from seeing the end of Maz.
Right.
And of course, the big bit of candy that we got from that in The Force Awakens was, you know, a story for another time. So she's got something to say.
Right, because I actually just watched The Force Awakens before we recorded, and that's a question for another time. It's like, well, you know, that's something we all forget about with the rest of The Force Awakens and then Rogue One coming out and then all the other shit coming out. But Luke's lightsaber, or I should say Anakin's lightsaber, is so central to the story.
Yes,
And let's remember, it's Luke's lightsaber from Empire. It's not the Jedi lightsaber.
Oh, you're right, yes.
You know.
Right.
The Jedi lightsaber was different, so it's his...
Right, the Jedi lightsaber is the one he built, the green one.
Yeah, it's the one where he got his hand cut off, so, wow, that'll be... How did she get her hands on that, for sure.
You know what, and here's something crazy, and I know this has been rumored about too, but what if Benicio Del Toro is Boba Fett?
Ooh.
The rumor was that he was... Another rumor was that he was playing a Fett. Not Boba Fett, but... Someone with the last name Fett.
As a potential clone.
I don't think he would be a clone because he would be dead by this point because of advanced aging.
Yeah. I think the idea is he's like an offspring of Boba Fett somewhere down the line.
And if he is in fact like somehow part of Boba Fett's lineage, I would imagine that he has some sort of his path has crossed with Luke's lightsaber.
Benicio does have the same general characteristics as Temuera Morrison. I'm probably butchering the actor's name.
Right. No. They're Latino looking or whatever. You know.
That's okay. I'm not from New Zealand, so you can mess up.
Don't go all Taikati. Never mind.
But here's the thing. Also, is I wonder if we're gonna get a Force Ghost of Hayden Christensen as Anakin.
I hope so.
Cool. I really do too, because I think it's interesting that he was at Star Wars Celebration. He and Ian McKellen were really the only prequels guys that were on a panel. I know that they had the New Zealander who played Boba Fett, and then the guy that. Daniel, whatever his name is, that played Boba Fett in Attack of the Clones, but
Ray Park was there too.
Ray Park was there. You're right. But when it came to the 40th celebration panel, the prequels were represented by Ian McDiarmid and Hayden Christensen.
Yeah,
you know, and Hayden Christensen's been pretty. He's been relatively shy towards the press and towards, you know, conventions and stuff, because he gets a lot of shit for the prequels. A lot of people take everything out on him.
It was his first convention appearance, I think, in 15 years.
Right.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's almost, in a way, that's this is going to sound so dumb, so I have to be careful with how I phrase it, but it's almost as big of a deal as Harrison Ford being at Celebration. Considering he's never been at a Celebration before, solely on the fact, well, because Harrison Ford doesn't give a fuck, for the most part,
right.
You know what I mean? He's like, I'm done with Han Solo, I fucking killed him off in The Force Awakens, like, fuck him, I'm going to make Blade Runner 2, and... What?
I thought it was...
Although I could see a Han Solo Force Ghost.
No.
Don't ask me why.
No. No, Ben. That is just implausible.
Come on, man. Hokey tricks and ancient weapons are no substitute for a good blaster, kid.
Right?
See, fuck Kent. You're good. God. You know, but I mean, unless there's going to be a flashback with Harrison Ford as Han Solo, I don't know if they would do that. I feel like they almost would do something like that because. I honestly feel like they missed a huge opportunity with reuniting Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill.
Yes.
For as much as I do like the storyline, I still love The Force Awakens. I still love it, but I feel like it's lost some of its appeal through rewatches, and I think Rogue One is a better movie than The Force Awakens.
I agree.
But The Force Awakens is a saga movie, which makes it more important than Rogue One. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like if Harrison Ford is ever going to be Han Solo again, it's going to be in some sort of flashback. You know, it's going to be like James Caan being at the end of Godfather 2, where they're going to pay him like $20 million to come in for like one scene,
right?
You know, just to get him in the movie.
But in response, Frank, to what you were saying about Hayden Christensen, let's remember in the new trailer we heard Darth Vader's breathing for a minute there.
Because, okay, at the end of Jedi, we get Hayden Christensen as the Force ghost of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
We know that Luke Skywalker can see the Force ghost of his father. You know,
right, yeah.
That is apparent. I find it inconceivable that they would not communicate at all after the events of Jedi, and especially after the events of, you know, the Jedi being destroyed by Snoke and the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
And stealing Ben Solo.
Yeah.
Away from Luke.
There's no way that, like, you can just ignore that fact that Luke is in contact with several, you know, dead people. It's too big of a plot point to not come back to.
He's become the Haley Joel Osment of Star Wars.
But, you know, I guess what I really want from The Last Jedi is I want it to be better than Rogue One. I know this is going to sound ridiculous because, you know, Disney's going to make a Star Wars movie every year for the foreseeable future. I mean, essentially, we're not going to be alive to see the last Star Wars movie.
And I'm okay with that.
Well, I mean, fuck you, Ben, but I want to see...
What I mean by that is that
I know what you mean.
We will see the characters that we grew up with. We will see their end, and the characters that they're developing now are going to go on to a new generation. And I'm okay with that. I would rather have a legacy of what was be passed on to the next generation.
Yeah,
right.
I've said this to Frank before, and I think he said the same to me, but Star Wars is like one of the only reasons, if not the only reason, I would ever have children.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
So I could pass the torch on to them and let them carry, you know, this amazing universe.
Absolutely.
Right, because, I mean, that's the whole thing. Because Star Wars gets passed down from generation to generation. I mean, it's going to be at more of a rapid pace now than it was before, considering there was a 20-year break, essentially, between the original trilogy and the prequels. But there's no doubt in my mind that after Episode 9, we're going to get 10, 11, 12.
Yes.
You know, and it's going to be Rey and Finn.
Yep.
And Ben Solo, if depending on what they do with that character, I feel that... Okay, this all hinges upon a lot of things, but, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that the saga films are about Skywalkers.
Yes.
And whether or not Rey is Luke's kid, which I'm still a firm believer in that theory, you can't forget that Ben Solo is a Skywalker. And the
Frank,
Skywalker
Frank,
torch... What's that?
Frank, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you think when you watched The Force Awakens that Han Solo knew who she was?
No.
You didn't get that?
No. I don't get that, but I get, but I know where you're going with this.
You know,
I know
when,
where you're going
you know,
with this.
You know when she's talking to him out on the shore there with the gun and everything?
Right.
And he says, you know, who? I don't know, I got the feeling that he knew who she was.
Well, let me back your theory up, even though I don't particularly buy it, since I just rewatched it, but when they go into Maz's castle, she asks him, who's the girl? And then it cuts away before he gets a chance to answer that.
I do think that there were a lot of camera movements focused on her, especially when she undertakes the journey to find Luke in the epilogue.
Yes. Yes.
That looked very much like the same camera work that we saw in the original Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, and here's why I think this because there are, I don't know, there's at least one, there might be two shots of Chewie looking at her.
Yes.
While she's, like, flying the Falcon and she's going to land it.
Yep.
On wherever Luke's at. And it's like Chewie knows.
Yes.
You know? Like, because he's fucking Chewie, dude. Because he's fucking Chewie knows. Chewie,
right?
Chewie and R2-D2 are, like, synonymous with the fucking, with Star Wars. With, like, always saving the fucking day. And they're the two most lovable characters, I feel like. Well, BB-8 has given both of them a run for their money. But, okay, well, I don't know what you're going to say, Ben, but you keep saying R2, so I'm just going to go with it. But R2 wakes up when Rey shows up.
Yes.
That's true.
I mean, yes, she's got the last piece to the map to find Luke, but I mean, I just every fucking time I watch the ending of The Last Jedi and she's holding the lightsaber out to him and he's fucking crying.
The Force Awakens.
Like, it's because fucking, like, he's looking at his daughter, man.
Yep.
If that's the case, Laura Dern has got to be her mom.
Of course Laura Dern's going to be her mom. Like, you know what I mean? As soon as Laura Dern was announced in the cast, I think, Terry, you and I were fucking, like, I almost got really crude, but, like, you and I were fucking, like, browbeating each other down.
So, Frank, you got the fact that Luke was crying. I thought he was, like, thinking, oh, shit, with that book. It was like, oh, fuck, really? Because, you know, it's like I was having a great time here on this island. I was coming back. I've got the sea breeze, you know, it's quiet. And what are you doing here? It's just like, don't you don't want to be left alone?
Well, but the whole thing's shot, like, he's waiting for her. He's got his back to her, and he's, like, looking out into the ocean, and it's like, it's like, you know, ever since he dropped her off at Jakku, and Lor San Tekka watched over her, because I have to get a fucking Lor San Tekka plug into a Star Wars podcast, because he's, like, you know, the most unsung fucking character of the new movie so far.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, where is the book with Lor San Tekka and, like, Luke fucking, like, finding all the Jedi temples? And it's like, where is this book? Why hasn't anybody written this yet? But anyway,
I was going to say, R2-D2, oops, sorry, go ahead.
Go for it, Ben.
I was going to say, R2-D2 and BB-8 are the swear throughout their entire dialogue, and nobody's going to look another. Nobody's going to bat an eye.
I think Chewie can.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
No one knows what Chewie's saying except them. There, we don't.
Nobody knows what Chewie is saying except for Han, Leia, Rey, and Luke.
Yeah,
that's what I've gathered from, like, the movies and Yoda
and Lando Calrissian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Lando Calrissian, now,
how
Billy Dee Williams, I don't know if I believe it or not. It's like when the fucking, whoever tweeted that, like, Snoke isn't Plagueis. It's like when fans were asking him, I can't remember what this guy, who this guy is. I don't know if he's not a writer, but he's somebody. But, like, I don't know. Anyway, but I mean, don't you think they'd want to save Billy Dee Williams for episode 8? Like, it's supposed to be a surprise in the theater to see him. You know what I mean?
That would be nice.
I personally think him and Chewie are going to hook up again and play some integral part, like they did in.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Like the start of Jedi, they're going to hook up something.
Because who the fuck's Chewie going to hang out with now?
Yeah, because they're going to. I think they're going to hook up a la sort of Empire, maybe in this one. And then they'll come back at the start of, like, in Jedi, you know, and they'll be embedded somewhere.
Right. I don't necessarily believe Billy Dee Williams when he says that, like, he's not going to be in episode 8, considering he's voiced Lando a couple times and is going to voice Lando again in Rebels. He voices Lando in, like, the Lego movie, and then, you know, I don't know if he voiced Lando in the Star Wars Lego game. He may have, but... You know, he got his own fucking comic line when Marvel was throwing out comics for every fucking character in the Star Wars universe back when Disney bought it. I feel like Billy Dee Williams has to be in Episode 8.
If he doesn't make
a team up.
Yeah. If he doesn't make an appearance in 8, that'd be such a letdown, and, like, he better show up for 9.
Right.
I personally think it'll be 9. If it's not this one, definitely be 9. Because I think him and Chewie will hook up and play some part together.
They have to, because Han's not in the fucking movies anymore, man.
Because let's remember that the Millennium Falcon was Lando's ship.
Exactly. And not to mention fucking Donald Glover's playing Lando in the fucking Han Solo spinoff movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which I'm very excited about. I think he's an awesome actor.
Yes. I mean, I haven't seen him in a whole hell of a lot. I was really pulling for Michael B. Jordan because he already has, like, the little stash. But, you know, I feel like Michael B. Jordan kind of fucked himself being the Fantastic Four movie, which prevented him from being Black Panther, which, I don't know. Anyway, even though he's going to be in the Black Panther movie. But,
right.
I'm excited for the Han Solo movie. I was kind of very hesitant towards it because I always kind of felt that, like, Han Solo really doesn't need a prequel movie to Star Wars. And then you think about the Kessel Run, and then you think about how he won the Falcon from Lando, and you think about Jabba
the Hutt.
Right. You know, and the fact that Lawrence Kasdan is writing the Han Solo movie is just, like, what the fuck, man.
And right. After the success of Rogue One, and they got the guys that did the Lego movie, I mean, I really think that this movie is going to knock it out of the park.
I'll tell you what, man, depending on how The Last Jedi is, and if The Last Jedi is even half as good as we think it's going to be, the Han Solo movie is going to have a lot of work cut out for it.
Yeah. It's still slated to release a couple months after, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, now the precedent has been set for the spin-off film, because Rogue One was a great movie.
Yep.
So they've definitely, you know, they've dug themselves a pretty deep grave.
No, you're right. I mean, I think that I mean, we've said it before, but I think that Disney had everything banking on Rogue One. The saga movies are easy. It's like, we got Harrison Ford, we got Carrie Fisher, rest in peace. We got fucking Mark Hamill. We got everybody in the movie. R2-D2's in it. C-3PO. Like, we're going to be fine. Chewie's in it. Everybody's going to love it. Even if it's not that good, we're still going to make a ton of money and everybody's going to love it. But Rogue One was dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I will be extremely interested to see how they... And this is nothing, but obviously I grew up with it. I will be very interested to see how R2-D2 is portrayed in The Last Jedi since Kenny Baker passed away last year.
Yeah. Maybe R2 what dies.
I mean, that's pretty fucked up, man. That'd be too much. Since we know they have to handle Carrie Fisher's death.
Yep.
Somehow, and that's going to change the events of Episode 9.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, who the fuck is Ben Solo going to redeem himself to now? Luke? He can't redeem himself to his mom.
God.
Unless they just digitize Carrie Fisher, which by the time they start shooting Episode 9, fucking every big tentpole franchise movie is going to be digitally de-aging actors or digitally reconstructing actors for movies.
Started already. Did you hear the
rumor with Sigourney Weaver? It's been all over the internet today.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like it started as a cool novelty of, like, Jeff Bridges and Tron and fucking Brad Pitt and Benjamin Button. And I think even in Rogue One it works perfectly because we're bringing back Peter Cushing as Tarkin, which is awesome. It's so cool. It's such a cool fan service. You know, you're bringing Carrie Fisher back at the end of Rogue One to make her look like she's from A New Hope. It's very cool, but, like, I mean, it's I don't know. I think it's a very slippery slope.
I
don't want to see 20 Alien movies with an artificial Sigourney Weaver.
It cannot make up, you know, more than 60% of the movie, and
I think that's where Rogue One succeeded, because they balanced Tarkin with everybody else. It wasn't the main attraction.
I agree, and I think it certainly helped that all the Tarkin scenes were anchored with Ben Mendelsohn.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Carrie Fisher moment was that great crescendo at the end. So, you know.
Right.
Right.
I don't think it would have played so well if they made that more of a part. You know what I mean? Like it was.
It wouldn't have. You're right. I mean, it had to be a 15-second scene.
Yep.
Yeah.
It had to end Rogue One. I mean, there's literally no other way for that movie to end, to have as an effective ending.
Yeah.
Than Leia saying hope. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to race home and put in fucking Star Wars now.
Oh, right.
Because we all did that.
I still think that they left a gap in between Rogue One and A New Hope.
Are you going to make a joke here, Ben?
No, not at all. Not at all. That was funny. Thank you for reading my mind. But I don't think there was a you're not going to immediately race home and, you know, from Rogue One and watch A New Hope. I still think that there's more to the story that happened in between, because it was a little too convenient that Bail Organa was talking about Leia on Yavin before the big battle in Rogue One. There was no way that they could just simply stitch together the end of Rogue One and the beginning of A New Hope. I still think Bail Organa was on that ship. There was no way that they could have gotten to the war or the battle and have dropped off Bail Organa on Alderaan.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, under the impression
that he was not together.
He was going home to Alderaan.
She was leaving
Coruscant.
He was going to Tatooine.
No, he wasn't going to Tatooine. He was going to talk to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
He was sending Leia to talk to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
Right.
And Leia was with General Raddus, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought he was going. I got the impression he was going, yeah, I'll go and get Obi-Wan. I'll go talk to Obi-Wan.
Yeah. It was a little too convenient for me that's the way the story unfolded. It works. I don't mind it, but I thought it was a little too convenient, and I still think it leaves somewhat of a gap in between Rogue One and A New Hope.
I mean, I don't know how big a one.
Not huge, but...
Like five minutes?
five minutes of screen time and maybe 2 or 3 days in between the end of Rogue One and the beginning of A New Hope.
I mean, I could see like Vader chasing down like that ship for a couple days. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
he's got them switching type
routes, and
he's got the
trying
time
to double back.
He's got the time to take off his helmet and have a bite and a cup of tea, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. I thought it was just, like, instantaneous. It's like it warped away, and then, you know, Vader's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, chase him. But I guess you could be right, Ben.
Yeah.
But
go ahead.
Maybe it's like a cooking show, you know, like through the magic of cinema. They're all the...
Bobby Flay surprises the Empire.
Yeah. It's like, here's one we prepared earlier. They're already on the ship's tail at the start of, like...
I love it.
Oh, you guys are such jokesters.
It would kind of explain how, like, Leia tries to, like, play it off like she doesn't know what they're talking about. Like...
Yep.
Like, she's like, oh, no, that's not us. Like that could have been like, oh, no, we've been chasing you for, like, the past week. You know?
Right.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they detail that in a novel or short story or something.
Yep.
Yeah, well, at least we're going to get the return of Phasma.
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
She was really teased.
Yep.
She was very underwhelming in The Force Awakens.
Yeah. I need to see them take her helmet off and see her face all, like, mangled and...
Yeah, from the trash perspective.
That's funny.
From the
and we should get the Knights of Ren.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
And we should get more Snoke that they're probably not going to do much with until Episode 9, I would imagine.
I think that accounts for like the severe lack of Snoke merchandise.
Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously, though, there's nothing with Snoke at all. Terry's right. It's like Terry and I have been waiting for Funko Pops to come out of a 6-inch translucent Snoke that hasn't happened. And maybe Snoke's not even going to be in The Last Jedi.
You know, if this was the 80s, they'd already have, like, cigarettes out. You know, Snoke, if you got them.
Right. I do think that Snoke will be in The Last Jedi in a similar to Darth Vader on the Avenger when he communicates with the Emperor. It might be a moment of dramatic tear, if you will, for Ben, between the good and the bad. Does that make sense?
No. So, do you think there's going to be some moment where Ben's going to get pulled to the light side, and then he's going to communicate via hologram with Snoke at the end of the movie, and then we'll get to witness Ben pick Snoke up and throw him down a shaft in Episode 9?
Eventually, yes.
Hey, you know, maybe he might do a Lando like an Empire, like he. Lando ultimately sells them out in Empire, and then at the end, dings himself a little bit.
Yeah, but he sells them out. He doesn't stab Han through the chest.
Yeah, but maybe Kylo will do something like that. Like he'll do a reversal.
That'd be one hell of a reversal.
Yeah, I feel like that reversal is going to have to build through Episode 9 for the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if you can even. It's almost to the point where it's like Ben Solo's irredeemable because he killed Han Solo. But I think that's like the trajectory of the narrative so far is that it's going to be Ben Solo's pull to the light side.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I don't know who's going to do it. If it's going to be Rey or it's going to be Luke, it's obviously not going to be Leia anymore. So. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, and don't forget, we get Carrie Fisher for this whole Episode 8, so like her relationship with Kylo Ren is still going to play a very important part, probably, for at least one movie.
I would agree with that.
What if he kills her, too?
Then he would literally be irredeemable.
That would be very heartbreaking.
I mean, there'd be nothing. I don't even know what they're going to do with that. I feel like that she's going to get written
that,
out.
I'm not just saying that because that would be lazy storytelling, like just have him kill her as well. But you know,
my original envision was he's going to kill Luke in 9, and then Leia's going to pull him back, or somehow Luke's going to sacrifice himself to save Ben Solo, and then that's what pulls him back to the light. I don't know, but.
Yeah.
You know, because from everything that we've been told, she was originally supposed to be in Episode 9.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and she was supposed to play a very prominent part in the next two installments. So I don't know what they're going to do. You know, originally her fucking brother, Todd Fisher, said that she was going to be brought back in Episode 9 with existing footage and... And now it's like, I think Disney and Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy,
she's not
going to be in Episode 9. Right.
But they've kind of been flip-flopping that, like yes and no, yes and no. Yes
no, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like, I still think they may bring her back digitally.
I think Kathleen Kennedy was playing it down just to kind of give everybody some room to get episode 9 out, or episode 8, excuse me. Get it out there in front of people. Let people grieve over her last true screen performance and then figure out how she fits into that next episode.
That could very well be something. Yeah, because she's the force is strong. You know, my father has it, my brother has it, my sister has it. You know,
yep.
You know, but and it's like we really don't know if she got any training. Really, I mean, the novel Bloodline really doesn't get into it too much, other than she went back to being a politician, and Luke just was supposed to be building the new generation of Jedi. But I mean, I feel like something had to happen in the months and years after Jedi with Leia's force ability, because essentially she should just have raw power.
Yeah.
She's Anakin Skywalker's kid. I mean,
right.
Do you think if
it's not like Hayden Christensen's Anakin Skywalker, do you think Obi-Wan might be a part of this time?
Yeah, I firmly believe that a standalone movie that's going to come out, one of the next couple of standalone movies that's going to come out, is going to be an Obi-Wan movie that's going to take place between 3 and 4.
Do you think with all this, the de-aging thing, or digital characters, do you think they might bring back a digital Alec Guinness and have, like, what's his name, voice him? Ewan McGregor?
No, I honestly don't think they're going to do that. I think that they're going to continue to validate and bridge the prequels with the standalone movies. And I think Rogue One is the perfect example and way to do that, with Bail Organa and then the same actress that played Mon Mothma.
Cool.
And as it stands now, I think Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, even the Clone Wars character, it's all based off of Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And I think Laura Dern is going to be the Mon Mothma character going forward.
You think she's going to be like the Resistance person?
Yes.
You don't think she's Rey's mom?
No, she's Rey's mom, but the Resistance is going to somehow affect the balance of the Force.
Well, she'd have to be, because they dump Rey for... Rey gets dumped for a very important reason.
Yeah. Right, exactly right.
I think it might even be confirmed. I'm not sure, but Laura Dern is like, she's playing like a leader within the Resistance.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that, like, that's how Luke met her. You know, they were all on the same side.
Yeah.
You know, and it would kind of make sense why Rey was so important that she needed to be hidden. You know, the daughter of, like, the last Jedi and a high-ranking, like, official within the Resistance.
And it's just so coincidental that Lor San Tech is on the same planet, huh?
Yes.
Really? Somebody. Somebody back my Lor San Tech a boner up here.
he's like Obi-Wan, you know, he's looking over her.
You've stolen my ship!
I suppose that makes a lot of sense. I never thought about Laura Dern being in the Resistance, but that's totally what she has to be.
Yeah.
Especially if she's going to be Rey's mom.
Yep.
Because, yeah, her and Luke, you know, would have met there, and then they do the horizontal mambo at some point.
God, the horizontal mambo.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that since I was like 10.
In zero gravity.
I watched Grumpy Old Men.
He takes off his robe and says, "Now feel the Force."
God, Kent, you're so crude.
Hey,
is
at least
is that a lightsaber in your pants, or are you just burning me?
At least wow. Not getting Schwartz's twisted.
That's true.
As I can see, your Schwartz is as big as I thought.
God, you guys need your own show.
we put the pitcher's name on everything.
The kids love the flamethrower.
Yeah, so they can light their Snokes.
This is by far the nerdiest podcast we've ever done. I love it. Well, does anybody have anything else to add? I think that should wrap up our Star Wars podcast.
Yeah, I've just got one thing to say before we wrap up. Don't you think it's cool? And no one's really brought this up yet. For those of us that were there in the beginning with Star Wars, we have now had that glorious experience of a Star Wars being in existence. Not only the original trilogy, then we had the prequels. Now we've got new Star Wars. That's three times in a lifetime.
Yes.
Once in a lifetime. But we had Star Wars, you know, for those of us that kids when Star Wars came out. And then we have the prequels. Okay, some people don't like them. Some people,
fuck the haters.
Yeah,
I love
that.
I love them.
We had that that glorious moment where the Phantom Menace, all that hype, it comes around again, and then finally again, in the same lifetime, we have a new trilogy and plus all the spin-offs, and I don't think that's been really sort of spoken about for those who have been there all the way through. That it is really incredible. We are having this continual, just this glorious movies just keep coming around. And you know, if Disney has anything to do with it, we'll be watching Star Wars till we're old and gray and beyond. to infinity and beyond. So, yeah.
No, man, I completely agree with you. Like, I quote Terry when I say this, but what a time to be alive.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting Star Wars for Christmas, like, for the next,
foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
between the books
like
and the animated shows and the video games and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a smile on my face, guys.
Of course you do, Ben.
Thank you.
Ben, I feel like you were born with a smile on your face. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
It was last week.
It was
No, it was Easter. Ben has risen.
Yes, I have. We're leaving that joke alone, Frank.
Does that feel daunting to have your birthday on Easter at all?
I don't think it's any worse than someone having their birthday on Christmas.
And on that note, thank you for joining Podcasting Them Softly. Nobody laughs except Terry. Thank you. Thank you for saving the dead air.
Wait.
Thanks for
having
me. It was a lot of fun.
Wait.
Hang on.
Sorry, I'm jonesing.
It's all good. And just so you know, the audio distortion is coming from Ben playing the song in his Pinto.
A la 1977.